Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the Titanic's Last Hero, Chapter 4, which is a tribute by Pastor John Dick of the Paisley Road Baptist Church in Glasgow. The name of the chapter, He Rose from the Ranks of the Working Men. And to write an appreciation of John Harper is no easy task, for when one has written in the superlative degree, one feels that justice has not been done to the life work and character of this strenuous worker for God. I knew Mr. Harper for 12 years, and 7 years ago I spent 10 days with him while conducting a special mission in Paisley Road. Then I learned to love him, and to know John Harper better was to love him more. We were different men, but there was an affinity between us that strengthened with the years. And his great desire was that I should succeed him in Paisley Road if ever he should be led out of it. That's now an accomplished fact, but little did we think that his earthly race would be completed at 39. In losing our dear brother, we have lost a great preacher. Stepping out from the ranks of the working men, he stood before his fellows as a man taught of God. No college can claim him. He came forth a preacher from God. The passion of his life was soul-winning. It was no unusual thing for him never to go to bed on a Saturday night, pleading for souls, crying for divine power to enable him to preach for the glory of God. It was this passionate love for souls that made him literally live among the people. With pride, the people in the district tell me how he used to drop in to dinner or tea and sit down with them to their frugal meal, served on a table devoid of cloth. He was one of themselves, losing himself in their sorrows and joys, advising and warning, rejoicing and weeping. And in this manly, loving way, he endeared himself to the simple people who today mourn his loss as if he had been one of their own family. His love and sympathy were phenomenal because of the magnetic, sympathetic influence that ever emanated from him. No wonder Roman Catholic and Protestant, the poor and the poorest of the poor, shed copious tears at the mention of his death. The district loved him and appreciated the Herculean efforts of this great, passionate worker for God. He was a great Bible student, and his capable teaching is manifest in the numbers of young men in the congregation who have an intelligent grasp of the Book of Books, and who have caught Pastor Harper's enthusiasm for Bible study. In Paisley Road and Walworth Road, London, his magnificent grasp of Bible truths was instrumental in bringing back many to the main line who had gone off to side tracks. One man in a prominent position in London told the writer that he owed his present position to John Harper, who had convinced him of doctrinal error by his intelligent exposition of the living word. Another prominent worker for God says that but for John Harper, he would today have been wandering in the mazes of infidelity. Reclaimed drunkards, gamblers, prize fighters, now enthusiastic workers for God, all praise the Savior whom they love for the day they came into touch with John Harper. Personal dealing was his great forte, his tact and greatness of soul eminently fitting him for this work. He knew working men's difficulties and temptations. He knew their literature and their manner of thinking, because he was one of them, and while some of them might resent what they called his extreme attitude, yet they loved him and were the first to recognize his intense sincerity. He was a great open-air preacher, could always command large and appreciative audiences. People speak with pride of the effect of his magnificent voice in the open air and tell how cleverly and firmly he could deal with all kinds of interrupters. No one could floor him, his great and intelligent grasp of Bible truths enabling him to successfully combat all assailants. It was a very common sight to see souls being dealt with in the open air, some even kneeling down in the ring and making confession of sin. Some of these trophies of grace are today deacons and respected members of Paisley Road Baptist Church, which is built on the spot where many of its members once gambled and fought. What a testimony to the power of the gospel, working through a man completely abandoned to the great work of soul winning. And what a sermon builder he was. His homiletical ability was marvelous. His great doctrinal sermons grew under his treatment until they appeared like a magnificent branching tree, affording shade and shelter to many a weary traveler. His wide knowledge of Puritan, theological, and revival literature enabled him to embellish his discourses in such a way as to send the hearer away with a sense of satisfaction and fullness. How difficult it is for one to realize that this great, intelligent, earnest, enthusiastic preacher and soul winner has gone out of one's life. All denominations mourn his loss, for his energies were freely given to all, as he didn't know the meaning of ministerial jealousy. His life will be an inspiration to thousands. His influence will be indelible, his example infectious. And although he was struck down in the zenith of his usefulness, yet we do not grudge him his translation to higher service. To try to fill his place is to attempt the impossible, yet to be in his place is an inspiration. He has gone to his reward, and it is for those who knew and loved him to profit by his example and try to fill the gap as far as is possible. Farewell, my beloved brother. May your mantle as a preacher fall upon your unworthy successor, and may the passion that filled your soul control the writer of this inadequate appreciation. We move to chapter 5, which is another tribute by another pastor, Pastor Hugh Gunn, John Street Baptist Church in Glasgow. The topic, he could not live without souls being won. Our dear brother, Mr. Harper, was a man in Christ. He was wholly surrendered to God. I knew him well, and I never saw him in him anything to the contrary. He had no hobby. He sought no recreation other than the deepening of his delight in God. Every power and passion of his being seemed to thrill with the life of God. He was on the altar continually. He was a man of intense earnestness. This earnestness was begotten of his consciousness of God. The power of the world to come seemed to rest on him at all times. This characterized him continually, whether praying, preaching, or dealing personally with individuals regarding salvation. He was a man of prayer. I shall never forget seasons of prayer with him. He no sooner began praying audibly than everyone felt he was in touch with God. After hearing him pray, one felt the desire to go away alone and open out one's heart before God. Prayer took a great deal out of him. He labored in prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. It was quite a common thing for him to spend whole nights alone in prayer. He literally came from the presence of God to his people. His sermons were saturated with prayer. Hence, their great power in uplifting and sanctifying God's people and bringing sinners weeping to the cross. He was a man of God, a holy man of God. God was all in all to him. He was always in communion with God. He reveled in the precariousness of Christ. God's hand of power rested upon him. This undoubtedly was the secret of his constant possession of that indescribable, undefinable thing that we call unction. I never heard him speak without it. As a pastor, he was most careful in his preparation for the pulpit. He reminded one of Machane saying, "Beaten oil for the sanctuary." Saint and sinner seemed to be thoroughly understood by him, and each had their portion dealt out to them as in the sight of God. With that eagerness, he sought to lead God's people into the fullness of the blessed life in Christ, dreading their remaining satisfied with anything short of the abundant, overflowing life which filled his own soul. He was greatly blessed in leading Christians out into the service of Christ. He never urged them to be or do that which he was not or did. He led the way. Our beloved brother possessed a consuming zeal for souls. This was really the outstanding feature of his consecrated life. He seemed to be unable to live without souls being one to Christ. Souls, souls, souls. It colored his whole life. He was loyal to God's word. He never descended into the questionable paths of higher criticism. To him, it was God's word. He was most intolerant with regard to some of the modern methods of doing Christian work. To him, it was little short of blasphemy to offer dying men entertainments and amusements instead of the glorious gospel which bringeth salvation to all men. His own work was a living example of what the gospel alone can accomplish. Being greatly blessed to the Moody Church, Chicago, he was invited to return for a second mission, and on his way there, Christ came to him and said, "Come up hither and come up higher." What a meeting with his Lord. I am intensely curious to know how he acted in the closing moments of his life. Would he not, as was his wont, be drying the tear away, comforting and helping till the last moment of his life? Would he not, in the midst of that sweltering mass of drowning men, women, and children, be pointing them to the cross, and thus, as he lived, die with that one name upon his lips, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Well, evidently, this brother, Pastor Hugh Gunn, did not know the rest of the story of John Harper, as you know it, as I've read it to you already, that indeed, that's exactly how he ended his life. Amazing, amazing. Let's go on to another story, another pastor, Pastor A.M. Niblack. This was delivered at Walworth Road Baptist Church in London. By Mr. Niblack, "There will never be another," it says, as chapter 6 begins. "It is with indescribable feelings that I stand here this morning. The great calamity which has fallen upon us in the loss of our beloved pastor, the Reverend John Harper, has plunged us into a pathless darkness from which for the moment our hearts and minds cannot find a way out. Last Monday evening, we went from the prayer meeting to our homes full of praise to God for the preservation of our beloved friend. The newspapers told us he was upon an unsinkable ship, that all was safe, and therefore there was no need to fear. But alas, man's word is not like God's word, immutable, unchanging, and sure. Neither are man's works like God's, for both words and works have failed, as has been seen in this sad disaster. The ship was sinkable, and she sank, and with her went down into the dark, deep, the body of him whom we loved so well. But praise God, we know he himself has gone home to be with the Lord. We have suffered a great loss, and not only we, but the entire church of God, a loss which cannot be replaced. There was only one John Harper, and there'll never be another. No one will ever fill his place. He has gone, and we are left for what? To weep and to allow our hands to hang down? No, surely no. But to work, to watch, to wait, to preach Christ and him crucified, and thus to save those who are crying out to us, 'Save our souls.' Oh, my heart sympathizes with yours. Yes, we are suffering together. God only knows the extent of the void that is in your hearts this morning. God loves this church. He honored it by giving for a season this man of prayer to lead it into the green pastures of truth, into the quiet waters of communion with God. The very fact that he was found here proves the love of God for you, and that God has chosen this people for himself, that he might show forth his glory and virtue through you. Today you are in the furnace of affliction. But is that not where God chooses his people? Isaiah says, 'I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction.' And so in this which has come upon us, God is choosing us for himself. England today is a land of mourning. Well, there are many widows and orphans who but a short time ago were counting the days, yea, the hours, when they would have the joy of meeting their loved ones again. But today their hearts are crushed. Desolation has entered into their spirits, and they are lonely. Their future is dark, and the spirit of the companionless has taken hold of them. Now they have no one to lean upon, to look up to commune with. Their partner has gone, that one who was their other being, that one in whom they had lost themselves, and of whom they themselves were a part. God help us then to play the part of the true Christian, and remember these in our prayers before the eternal throne. I have said that we have lost a friend, a brother, and a pastor. This is true, is it not? Oh, he was a friend indeed. We could go to him and open our hearts, knowing that he would hold sacred our confidence, that he would be gentle with us and deal with us tenderly, that whatever advice he gave could be relied upon. And then he was a pastor, a shepherd. It was borne in upon you that he was a man who realized that he had to render an account to the great shepherd of the flock over which he had the oversight. He prayed for you. Oh, how he prayed. Some few of us had the privilege of spending seasons together with him in waiting upon God, and at these times he would lose himself entirely. Often have we been amazed at his boldness, asking God for great things, speaking to him as if he were well acquainted with him. I have never met any man who was his equal in wrestling with God. I've seen the sweat literally pour from him as he agonized in prayer. At times he seems to have taken eagle wings to himself and be far away from us, far away in that blue sky where God is, and yet at the same time we realize that he brought heaven down to earth. When John Harper prayed, heaven and earth met, and those near him knew it because they felt it. He was a Brainerd, a David Brainerd, an Edwards, a Jonathan Edwards, a M'Cheyne, a William Burns, a Finney, all rolled into one. How he prayed for the lambs of the flock. Oh, friends, we owe a great debt to our Lord Jesus for allowing him to enter into our life. We are spiritually richer today because of his prayers. And in days to come, when spiritual blessings fall upon us, remember that in a great measure, many of them will be the answers to our departed brother's prayers. Our friend, brother, and pastor has gone home. When his dear wife was taken from him some 6 years ago, he was, in a sense, a homeless man. It was his wife that made that home, just a little outside Glasgow, home to him. Now he has gone to her, and yet far better than even this, he has gone to his Lord and Savior, whom he adored, loved, and served. When the Titanic went down, it took with it his poor, frail body, but not his spirit, for that has gone home to God. We must not, therefore, think of him as we knew him after the flesh, but as he is now, with Christ. If we think of the man after the flesh, we shall see the poor body down in the sea and imagine that he's cold and lonely, which is not so. No, friends, we sorrow not as others. That body was but the earthly dwelling place of a noble man of God. The man is gone, and the earthly tabernacle is now tenantless. We would, if we could, cover and guard and lovingly lay that body in the grave because of the soul that once lived in it, but we cannot, and we therefore submit and bow to the will of God. For God has been pleased to take our brother to himself in this manner. For what purpose, we do not know. But one thing we do know, God has done right, and to his will we say, Amen. Amen. Three pastors, three tributes. You'll notice he mentions the other brother that we've been reading here at Hackberry House, the man David Brainerd. Lord willing, we'll come back to him soon. Well, thank you for being here, and do look over the website. You'll see some other very interesting people, their words, their lives. You'll see a lot about North Korea. You'll see a study on the Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible and commentaries and a whole lot of stuff. Please check us out. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.